Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Frank Film Club, the club for lovers and makers of film. I'm Maisie Williams. I am an actor and producer.
I'm Lowry Roberts, and I'm a filmmaker and producer.
Hello, I'm Hannah Williams, and I am a casting director.
And welcome to our club. Take one.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Frank Film Club. This week, we're talking about The Batman, which has just come out in cinemas in the UK and I think internationally as well. It's directed by Matt Reeves, starring Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne, aka Batman, Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle, aka Catwoman, Paul Dano as the Riddler, and Colin Farrell as the Penguin. I probably don't need to explain the plot, but I will. When the Riddler, a sadistic serial killer, begins murdering key political figures in Gotham, Batman is forced to investigate the city's hidden corruption and question his family's involvement. But first of all, guys, what have you been up to? How's your week going?
I've been spending some time in the library.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, that's vintage. We're somewhere around by you?
Very vintage, yeah. Local library. I love going in there. It's so quiet.
Oh.
And I love seeing people using the computers. They're usually a little bit older and I love it.
What do you do in there? Do you sit and read?
I sit and I do emails or read and just vibe out, really. And I just really love it. I really hope we never lose our public libraries because I think that they're sacred, sacred places. I love them.
Yeah. It feels very nostalgic to even think about, like I feel like different libraries have meant different things to me in my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, get that.
What about you, Han? What have you been up to?
I've been doing loads of in-person castings, which I'm loving because it's all been through Zoom for the last 2 years. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, yeah, let's just get in person. So got one next weekend, had one yesterday, had one last week. And it's just so much more fulfilling.
Yeah, I bet the actors are just loving it as well.
I bet you feel buzzing after it as well. Like get the, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love that.
What about you, Lowry?
I've been doing a lot of script notes at the moment and notes on like treatments, films and things. So it's been quite good fun. Which, well, you've also been doing the same, Maze.
Well, I've been admiring your notes.
Oh, thanks. I have been setting goals for myself with my new daily goal planner.
Ooh. Oh my goodness.
After feeling inspired from our chat with the Shiver Baby Gals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got myself a notebook and I've been doing daily goals and weekly goals and long-term goals and I'm on the road to success.
Just anything where I can tick something off.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad you're both having a good week so far. Let's get stuck in. So this is actually the first Batman film that I've ever watched.
Ooh.
Which is a bit mad.
Not even Dark Knight.
Well, actually, I have seen the end of Dark Knight.
That's not helpful.
It's a bit random that I have chosen to watch this, but there's been so much hype about it that I wanted to watch it. Maybe a completely fresh perspective on it will mean that we have interest in chats. So what did you guys think?
Well, I'm not a big Marvel DC person at all, but I was so glad that you wanted to pick this film because I feel like this film has been such an amazing return for so many people back to the cinema. And it's like kicking off that again, which is amazing. And I just got so much to say about it as well. Even though I don't fully know the backstory and the history of certain things, I think as a standalone film, this is really interesting, and I love how it's divided some opinions, so I can't wait to hear what you all think about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that I was a particularly big Marvel DC person, but I think in comparison to you two, I'm the well of knowledge. But I have seen a couple of the Batman franchise and like the different Batmen. And I thought that this film was really interesting. I think it's very different to the others, which is good. It's good to be able to do something fresh like this late in the game when so many people have reprised this role. It wasn't my favourite Batman, but that doesn't mean that it's not a good movie. Yeah, equally excited to hear what you guys think, especially you, Lowry, because you've got nothing else to go off of. So yeah, what did you think?
So this film, actually echoing what you said, Hannah, it's like one of the first times I've been back in a cinema for a really, really long time. So for that reason, I was really excited and absolutely loved it. But I realised, and I did kind of already know this, that I'm really bad with following films that are really information and plot heavy. That's just something that I struggle with. And I don't know if that is the thing that lots of people struggle with as well. And I think Matt Reeves, from what I've heard him like talking about in interviews, like he was trying to make this one a bit more of an emotional journey, but I think it's actually still very plot heavy and really information heavy. And when I'm hearing names being thrown about, they just don't stick in my head and I don't know who anyone is.
Well, from that and then to you, Maisie, do you think that things maybe might click more if you'd seen more of this DC world?
Well, potentially, in terms of like the format of there being a killer and then Batman has to figure out who it is. That is something that happens quite a lot. And so I kind of felt okay to like not remember all of that. But it's interesting that Matt Reeves wanted to make this one like more of like an emotional journey, because I think the Christian Bale reprise, you got to see Bruce Wayne like out of his suit so much more often. And even if he wasn't outwardly being Bruce Wayne, you got to see him in his Batcave like vibing but with no mask. And I think that that helps you connect so much more with like the personal journey throughout it. And don't get me wrong, like I do think that in this film you feel Batman's like real turmoil and he wants to keep people safe and he's like really trying to navigate how to do that in the best way. But I think that from an audience perspective, being able to see the Batman sans mask is so important to connect with. And it's nothing to do with Robert Pattinson's performance. Like, I think that I was still getting that vibe, but you're never going to get it as much as if you can see someone's actual face.
So after watching it, I think because it was Robert Pattinson in it, and for so long he's like been trying to get away from franchises after being in Twilight, I thought for him to now take such a big character that's part of such a big franchise, surely it's got to be such a character study. This story is going to be so different to any other Batman story that's been told. But it wasn't quite that, which really surprises me. And I kind of wondered your thoughts on, I guess, Maisie, especially having like experienced this, like going back into a franchise, that's a pretty bold decision.
Yeah, it is so hard to get away from whatever character you're kind of like known for, especially when it's in something that was as popular as Twilight. Like, he has just really pushed himself into like a new place, and then to go back and do something like this, like, it is really brave. I'm sure it's literally every actor's dream to play like Batman, so I completely get it. But yeah, I wanted to see like the indie version of Batman.
That's what I was expecting, yeah, because it was him.
I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought that there were pieces of the Batman that they just like knew the bits of Joker that did well and like wanted it to be kind of like a more moody exploration, but trying to do that with someone who's already a hero and kind of be like, yeah, but he has it so hard because the police, they still don't like him. And it's kind of a little bit like, you're way too privileged to be playing this card. So I think it was definitely, it's clear that this one came post Joker success.
Yeah, I don't feel like I had that much sympathy for Batman. And I think I was probably meant to.
No, I think you are probably meant to feel empathy for him because he's the lead. But I think that was a bit mixed messagey as well. I do wish that we had just seen more of him. But I also feel like I wish we had seen more of Catwoman as well, because it was like it was almost there. I think her characterization would have been very cool if we had just seen a little bit more of her.
To be honest, their relationship overall really surprised me. Like when they first kissed, I was really not expecting that, because I actually thought she was in a relationship with a woman that she'd been living with.
Me too.
And then I was like, that's probably not good that shocked me, because you should probably be feeling like that's about to happen if the chemistry's there. So then I was like, oh, that's a shame. I don't know that they've quite put the time into it to make us believe that. How did you guys feel about that?
I don't know. I think it's obviously what people want is some sort of like romance storyline going along it. But I would have preferred if they had just like been mates, and like maybe she was gay and they were just like... He was like a loner and, you know, they came together. Batman expert Maisie Williams. Does Batman get with Catwoman in other films? Is that like a relationship that happens all the time? Because I don't know where the crossovers are with like the universe and worlds and stuff. Is that something that happens?
I feel like it does. But there's always like... There's fraternizing for sure.
From my Wikipedia ring. It said that Catwoman is the love interest. It seems like that's a recurring theme, at least.
Well, it just didn't feel like it fit everything that we'd seen up until that point. Because I feel like there definitely was like an admiration between the two of them. But I thought that it was like on another level. It felt on a different level, like a mentor-mentee.
What are your thoughts on there being remakes after remakes about the same characters in the same worlds? And because I have mixed feelings, but I understand that it makes a lot of money and people want to see it.
I think if people enjoy it and it's got a market and it's bringing people entertainment and joy, great. What I struggle with is sometimes when you go to the cinema, especially like cinemas that are outside of London that maybe don't show some smaller films, that it's just so like oversaturated with these big budget things, and it doesn't have much room for people to like come in. And also, even if you just use like a 16th of their budget, you could make like 5 indie, like wicked indie films, and give people opportunity. I know that's not the way the world works, and I appreciate that it entertains a lot of people, but I think is that what you mean by mixed feelings about it? Because that's how I feel.
Yeah, same kind of thing. It's like the same white male characters on screen over and over again in exactly the same character. I'm like, is that useful? They're like, well, this is what makes money. It's like, well, you haven't put the money into the other films yet, so you don't know if the other films make money.
Yeah,
like about the other characters, or, you know?
Yeah. Even if you didn't spend all of that money on another film, but just like marketing other films, like people don't know that these indie films exist because there's just not the money to even like get them out there. And I even think, I'm like, is even what I said earlier in terms of like Batman being the dream role for any guy, when I actually think about that, I'm like, that's a bit boring.
What's the female equivalent?
I don't know that there is. I think that's kind of the point as well. Like, why is it only these male... completely white male characters.
Marvel are definitely doing a really good job at trying to tell all of their other comics. Like, you think about Wonder Woman, you think about Captain Marvel, and you think about, like, all of these other characters. And maybe we just haven't got to the point where someone's going to reprise those roles yet, and maybe that will be, like, maybe one day it will be, like, I can't, like, I want to play Wonder Woman, or I want to play, yeah, Captain... I keep thinking Captain Fantastic. I do want to play Captain Fantastic.
But I do, yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask, because Maisie, you were in a Marvel film, and like, does all of the hype in the world and like how different it feels in our industry, it feels like there's our film industry and then there's Marvel and DC, it's like miles apart. Does it feel like that when you're on the inside of production?
Oh, completely. You know, the budget that goes just on like food alone could make like 4 Sean Baker movies. So it's just, it kind of is a little bit crazy. It's just, you have so much time and you have so much money, and I'm sure like the powers above are like, actually we're running out of time and we're running out of money. And I get it, because everything just takes longer and it's more expensive, and sure, there's the same pressure, but I much prefer doing something which is smaller budget for that reason, because I think that can see it in my eyes that I'm just like, yeah, you're literally just like sleepy from having too much lunch. That's why when one of these movies does really, really well, it's so interesting because they've found something very, very real, and it's hard to fake that.
One thing that blew my mind that I didn't realise until after watching it was that Colin Farrell was playing the Penguin.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell?
Who did you think it was?
Some old guy. I don't know.
Oh, amazing that they're giving this new talent some airtime. Isn't that great?
That was such a big transformation. That must have cost so much money, firstly, to get Colin Farrell. So much money to make him look not like Colin Farrell. And then, so I'm just really confused. Yeah. But I do think he was incredible, and I do love Colin Farrell. So, like, if you can have him, yeah, like, go for it. But then I was like, also a bit questionable because that's just so extra.
Like, if an actor can become anything, what's to say you can't cast any one actor as anything?
Yeah.
Like, that just blows my mind. The possibilities are so endless. If they can say, who can play the Penguin? Literally anyone, like anyone.
Yeah.
I've got a Colin Farrell fact for you.
Oh, yeah?
So he wanted to smoke cigars as the character, but they had to tell him no, basically, because they wanted to make it a PG-13.
But didn't it still end up being a 15?
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. It became a 15 and all the parents were very upset.
Well, he could have smoked.
Yeah, then he could have the old time.
Maybe it was a bit jumpy at times. Maybe it was the jumps. In Matt Reeves' defence on the whole Colin Farrell thing, apparently when casting Colin Farrell, he was like, I just love Colin Farrell. And he went to meet him, and Colin at the time had put on a load of weight for another role. So he did kind of look a bit more like the Penguin. And he tried on like some fake nose and he was like, oh yeah, great, this is it. But then Colin was like, actually, I'm feeling not very healthy at this weight, so I want to lose it. I don't want to keep it. So then they did the whole fat suit or whatever. So
got it.
Kind of get it. It's still pretty extra, but I'll go with it. Let's talk about the bat suit.
Yeah.
Because as a non-Batman person,
yeah,
I was a bit like, but why? Why is he dressed up as a bat?
So uncomfortable.
And I must admit, I really did love all the squeaks and everything, and like the sound effects of his costume were, because in my head I was like, it's Batman, you just gotta go with it, it's just what it is. But then actually in the story, he's like bumping into people or meeting people and they're saying like, what's with the suit, you weirdo, and saying all this stuff. I'm like, so they even think it's weird, but it wasn't in this one. And I was like, I feel like you've got to commit one way or the other. Otherwise, he is just weird and wearing a cape. And I don't know. I couldn't quite get my head around that one.
Well, that was one of Woz's things when we came out of the cinema, was that it was like this detective thing. But why was he at the crime scene? Like, apparently in the other films, like, he wouldn't be at the crime scene. Like, he would do a separate investigation himself. And it was quite jarring to, like, see a crime scene and everyone moving around and him, like, the camera pans and there's just, like, a bat in the room.
In the suit's defense. I feel like it is a common thing for a lot of the heroes. I'm just hearing now, like in the Spider-Man film, like I can remember them being like, what is this? Why are you wearing a suit, you weirdo? It, like, because the world itself is also rejecting the suit, then in like our reality, you're also kind of like, what's with the suit?
Just because like in, as Bruce Wayne, he seems pretty, he's very switched on. He seems not like the type of guy that would go around in a cape. I just was questioning that. But yeah, I loved the sound effects of the suit. Like, it did crack me up at times, but in an endearing way.
I watched an interview where Rob Pattinson was talking about the suit, and when he did his screen test, he wore, I think he said, George Clooney's suit. And then when he got to actually wear his own one that was made for him, all of the like joints had their perfect like movement, and yeah, it just like fit him like a glove. And I feel like the mechanics that go into making something like that is so interesting to me. And I think the one thing that I'm always excited about for Batman films is the costumes, and especially in this one, because I knew that Catwoman was going to be in it, and oh my goodness, her costume was like unreal. I just think that that part is always exciting, reinventing the same one. It's like, it is like when designers like do their new collection and they reference something from like ages ago. I find that part, like the little fashion part of me gets like very, very excited.
Well, that probably would be, you know, we're talking about like what would be that role. Batman is the ideal role to do. Imagine, yeah, recreating something iconic. That's probably a costume designer's dream as well.
Yeah, you are so right. I loved that it was like kind of, because in the film it looks black, but I was looking at some pictures of it in just like that people had taken pictures of it, and it was kind of like this brushed, like real soft leather, and it was kind of like a more off black color, and I thought that was like, that was cool.
I wonder what it's like to perform in something like that, though. It can't be easy. I mean, maybe Catwoman's a little bit more easy, still probably a bit uncomfortable, but for Robert Pattinson, that's got to be clunky.
Yeah, and I was thinking this because the film is 3 hours long, but I mean, I think if he could walk fast
it would have been at least, or like, what would it be?
Would have shaved down about 40 minutes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now it's time for In the Club.
So now it's time for In the Club. This is the part of the podcast where we ask you, the audience, for your questions on the film, and we answer them and chat about your thoughts. So I'm going to kick us off with a question from Andrew Hamster Hyde. He said, can you talk about how this felt like the first Batman detective story in forever on film?
I love this question because literally until I read it, I was like, oh yeah, Batman's a detective. Like, you're just so used to seeing him. Well, I know he's like figuring out crime and stuff, but like, you're just seeing him being a superhero, and then you're like, oh yeah, you're like a detective.
And because he's not actually super, like he doesn't have superpowers, does he?
No.
So I suppose he is a detective. So, Stuff by Wes said, can you talk about Paul Dano?
We didn't even speak about Paul Dano yet.
Yeah, let's. I love Paul Dano in this. I mean, it did feel very similar to Prisoners, I guess, his role in that. He was weird and creepy. I really liked him.
I think Robert Pattinson, Barry Keoghan, Paul Dano are like some of my favourite actors at the minute. And I was really excited to see them all in it. And I really, yeah, I thought he was amazing.
I thought that his performance was incredible, but similar thing to with the Batman, I just, because so much of his performance was so obscured, I just wanted to see more of him. I just wanted to see more of what he was giving, because he was giving so much. And it was only really in that not final scene, but the scene towards the end when they're in the prison that I really felt like I could enjoy that. And I love, like, my favorite thing of all of these films is always the bad guy. And I think just like having him so obscured for so long, and with the mask, and I don't know, I just, yeah.
I wonder if, you know, because he's had a mask on the whole time and he's doing this like crazy performance, I wonder if wearing a mask really helps you to be totally unselfconscious and really go there with something like this, where you do have to be like insane and on the edge. If having that like physical barrier so you're not actually showing your face will help you with performance.
I bet. It was incredible.
Yeah.
On that kind of, yeah, similar kind of thing. Donovan Schmidt said, can you talk about Bruce and his psyche, his reliance on the cape persona rather than his own mental state? So similar kind of vibes to what we were just talking about.
I feel like this is probably more accurate for the character, because whenever you see him as Bruce Wayne, you just know, like in other movies, you just know that like when he's Batman, he is like his real self. And so I understand it from like a film perspective, but I think like I did miss seeing his face and seeing him strip back, because we just associate that with someone being more real or more honest. Whereas with the Batman, that is kind of the point, is that like being Bruce Wayne is when he's wearing a disguise, and being the Batman is when he's not. So I think it rings very true to the comics, but not my preference.
Dylan is bored said, talk about Barry Keoghan stealing the movie.
I think Barry Keoghan is one of the best actors around at the moment. And I'm wondering if he was cast as the Joker and then they cut his scenes. Because I saw something online that they cut a lot of his scenes.
Well, I'm just guessing that he's playing the Joker and the very end scene because there's going to be another one where he's going to be like the main character, Joker, right?
But I don't know. Maybe I just built it up in my mind. I was like, oh my God, he's in this film. How amazing. I'm so excited for him. And then it got to the end and you literally don't, he's not visible. He stole the movie for me because I was like, I'm really excited to know what's going to come next now.
Yeah, that's true, actually, because that's what you're left with.
Like, is Paul Dano and Barry Keoghan going to partner up and do something massive in the next one? And how amazing would that be? Because yeah. I can imagine their chemistry to be, like, on fire between those two boys, lads, men.
Fun in the Batman too, in due course.
Well, they've hooked me in anyway, because now I'm definitely going to go and see the next one.
Yeah, agree.
Melon Lord Josh has said, can you talk about how it addresses the fact that the difference between Batman and the Riddler is a very fine line?
Well, I thought the way that the film sets itself up was really interesting, and was because like it was setting itself up to be the film that I thought it was going to be, with all those thugs, and he's going against them and he says, I am vengeance. And then he doesn't seem to really have much violence against people like that afterwards,
which I think is kind of the point. I think him, I don't know at what point it changes, but like, you know, towards the end when he's like to Catwoman, like, don't kill whoever she was trying to kill, I think that's because he's then realizing that actually vengeance isn't gonna save the world. If you just keep killing people, you're still you're a bad person yourself.
I do wonder if a part of this is the Jokerification of Marvel world, and that in that film we got to sympathize so much with someone who was actually a really bad person, and like how that can be kind of damaging to, well, just as a message, like especially if someone's like, you know, murdering people. And then you go over and you start doing a superhero film and you're basically got a guy doing the same thing. Yeah, I think it's probably, this is something that is just like a today's telling of this story. This is how we've got to do it, because actually all of this is getting a little bit too close in terms of like this film in comparison to the other Batman films.
He comes to reckon with the fact maybe that he's not as morally superior as something that's happening and ruining the town.
It's very blurry. We're really honing in on all of the flaws of our heroes, and I thought that these films were kind of like everyone could escape from the real world and go somewhere where, you know, people don't let you down. But it does feel like our reality isn't like that so far. But I don't know, I did feel like there was a lot of story. I felt like there was a lot of story, but maybe not a lot of soul. Well, I think that this film has really taken it way back to like the comic book sort of version of this story. And I think with The Dark Knight, it became such a action heavy like thriller almost, and with like Heath Ledger's Joker, like it was disturbing, it was dark, and it was like gritty, and it was cruel, you know. And I think there was a piece of this. I know that they really wanted this to be a PG-13, and when it became a 15, it was like a bit of a shame, because they really, really had tried their best to try like bring it back to that kind of like fictional fun part of like the superhero. And I think with the Batlight, this is the first film that I've seen when they did the Batlight, but maybe I just don't remember the Batlight before. But yeah, little pieces like that I think are just like throwing it back to like the fictional part of this material, whereas like in previous reboots it's kind of gone very raw.
I think that like I felt like that was where it wasn't connecting, because it was dark and then it was light, and it was like a mixture between like a comic book world, which is quite obviously like a comic book world, and something like the Joker. So yes, I can see that, and that makes sense that would be because they were trying to make it a PG-13, but they didn't quite get there.
Ronan Walsh.735 has said, best Batman soundtrack?
Absolutely. The best. I really liked it. I loved the Nirvana. It made me feel like it was going to be an indie. So I was there for it.
I've listened to the soundtrack on Spotify and since, and yeah, it's great.
I've actually been doing the same.
Wait, guys, can I just read you this really funny review that I found? Okay, this is Nick Wibbert. Posted on the 2nd of March. I just love how fucking disgusting Bruce looks in this. Nasty ass, stringy ass, translucent, pale goth boy in his dank, disgusting Batcave, hunched over his computer with bloodshot eyes and black eye paint, scrolling through footage of the previous night and journaling his fucked up thoughts. When he finally emerges from the cave to talk to Alfred and gets disturbed by the natural sunlight and has to put on sunglasses, I wanted to get up and cheer. Yeah, that's right, put on those sunglasses, you little freak. Also, he's definitely a virgin based on how he composes himself around Catwoman. Fucking fantastic movie.
All right then, what are your final thoughts? I do think with a film like this, with it having like so much behind it, so many fans, so many not fans but people knowing about it, and so much hype around it, it's always going to be a film that like everyone has an opinion on it. Like, I've got an opinion on it. I've never seen a Batman before. Like,
that's the price of doing something which is just so popular. Like, the more popular something gets, the more backlashes you're going to get, because it's seen by a wider audience who all have, yeah, like, very different opinions. Like, I never thought that I would be able to speak about something like this for so long, but there's just so many elements to it that are interesting choices when it's so much at stake.
Mm-hmm. And I think even if there's parts that we don't like, not all of it is completely for us to enjoy to our, like, it's not necessarily for us, like, and I think that that's also good, because I know that it does bring other people a lot of joy, and they love this one, or they prefer another one, and, like, you know, they've got a wider opinion on it.
Final thoughts are, although I find parts of films like this a little bit silly, as soon as I let myself go with it, I have such a great viewing experience, and I really enjoy being in the cinema. I'm so glad that loads of people are going to see this in the cinema. I'm so excited to see what happens next, because I think Barry Keoghan could be like quite incredible, especially with Paul Dano. And yeah, there's stuff that I didn't like about it, but I don't care. I enjoyed it still, so... Yes.
Yeah, I think that there are pieces of this reboot that is like still finding its way, what the real tone is, like who it's for. But I think that the cast is really strong, and I agree. I'm really excited to watch the next one, and I've like invested in like this retelling of the story. And I think that it was good.
I actually thought it was beautiful, and I thought that the sound was incredible on it, and I like weirdly took so much pleasure in listening to this film. I just know that I want to watch more of the Batmans that have already been as well to understand it more. But yeah, it was great.
A good first in.
Absolutely.
You got a taste of the... I'm not even going to...
I love that so much.
Next week on Frank Film Club, we're going to be talking about Phantom of the Open, which is Craig Roberts' new film and stars Sally Hawkins, Mark Rylance, Rhys Ivans, and is such a lovely, heartwarming film about golf, but more about the underdog and going against the grain and family. And we've got Craig Roberts joining us for In the Club, which we can't wait for you to listen to. So make sure you go and watch it if you can. It's in the cinemas in the UK at the moment, so try and catch it, and we will see you back here next week.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.